Blog Talk.
Blog Talk Radio Nation, I am LeVar Evans, and you are tuned into another edition of the 411 Lounge here on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, you can always catch our latest schedule of shows on wix.com/newscommentBTR, /fanpage. And my guest at this time, for full disclosure purposes, I'd like to say is a friend of mine. We do go back a little bit, but recently she has written a book. And one of the things about this book, which is entitled Retrospect with Reason, A Look at Life's Experiences in the Aftermath, is that it brings about a spiritual as well as a common sense approach to understanding one's past in order to move forward in a way to one's future. I hope I get that right. But, of course, no one better can explain it more than the author herself, Anika Hardy Douglas, who joins us tonight. Anika, welcome to the program.
Thank you, LeVar. Thank you for having me on your show. Congratulations with all your success and everything you have going on.
Well, congratulations on this book, which is a fantastic read. And I wanted to begin first by, I guess, asking the first question. I mean, when people sit down, they just don't say, hey, I'm going to write a book and everything kind of comes out. Writing a page of anything is hard enough, and you and I both know in school, you know, starting on a report or doing anything, the starting point is the hardest thing. It's a major, especially with a book, it's a major undertaking. What inspired you to write this book, and why at this time?
You know, I think it's different for everybody. For me, words just, they just pop into my head almost, so I didn't just decide that I was going to sit down and write this book. It's a work in progress, actually. I wouldn't even consider it finished. This is just part one. But as far as inspiration, I think life, the experiences, trials, errors, love, loss, relationships, you know, hardships, suffering, success. And this book was just, it was really a way for me to reflect on my life in a way and, you know, some experiences that I've seen other people go through, so that I can learn as I grow and take a lesson from everything. I think my children are a big part of me pursuing this book and getting it published because I want them to see what education is, what it does, not just textbook education, but real-life experiences and exposures.
And for those wondering what the book is about, could you share a little bit of what they will read when they open these pages? And who's the core audience that you're hoping to reach?
This book, I would say, is an easy read. It's one of those kind of inspirational books that you could just turn to any page and just take a second to read through a passage that may, like, get you through your day or something. Generally, you'll find a small quote on every page, a powerful, I would say kind of like a revelation that deals with some element of life or experience. And it'll be followed by a little snippet or an example of how it could apply to somebody's life to make the quote clear or relatable. I think that my target audience would be anybody that's just looking for hope, motivation, inspiration. That could range from a teenage boy or a girl, adults, young teens, older people. It really doesn't set the tone for one general audience, but I think anybody, troubled teens, young adults, adults in general, I think anybody can really take something from this book.
Well, I've got to say definitely, you know, in times like this, with so much that's going on in the world, it definitely is a must-read, I think, for any age age bracket here, whether you are that young teen that's going through the stresses of high school or, you know, that adult that's going through the stresses of
absolutely.
Parenthood. Yeah, and it's such a good read, and I hope people get a chance to at least learn what I learned from reading it. But one thing about
go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's all right. One thing your book also takes a slant from is not just from, you know, that common sense thing, but also, you know, the common sense in a non-spiritual way, but also in a spiritual way. I know you mentioned, you know, God a lot in the book there. And do you think that for those who don't have a faith in God will be able to take away a message from this book as well?
Honestly, I feel like if a person doesn't necessarily have a faith in God, I mean, just by reading the back of the book, they may get turned off a little bit. But this book isn't a religious book. I'm not, like, the qualified person to speak about religious matters, but I am spiritual. I believe that there is a God, and I have a faith in him, you know. So I try to incorporate spirituality into the book because I believe there's more people that, you know, seek God's guidance than there are not. You understand? So, I think a person that doesn't necessarily have the faith in God could pick something up from this book as well, because, like you said, it's a common sense approach to living life, but everybody's common sense isn't the same, you know. And I think that deals with, you know, what people go through, what they have experienced or lack thereof, you know. So I think that any person, spiritual, non-spiritual, God-believing or not, if you're living your life according to trying to live right, and I think you could benefit from this.
Now, for those that don't know Nika, as I call her, she's quite a philosophical person, and I think from this book you will get a taste of that when you read that as well, especially with each passage and as the pages go on. But a question for you: what philosophers or thought-provoking figures inspire you, and are any of their thoughts incorporated into the book as well?
Philosophers, I don't think there's anyone in particular, but I do find inspiration in anybody that's positive, whether they're famous, you know, well-known, everyday people. It really doesn't matter. But some of the famous names that come to mind would be Lauryn Hill. You know, that's my mentor right there. Nikki Giovanni, Maya Angelou, Martin Luther King, and anybody that's conscious-minded pretty much inspires me. And that could be you, you know. You're positive. You inspire me. Anybody that's doing positive things in the world, you know, giving back in some kind of way, that's my inspiration right there.
The check is in the mail.
I wish. But, you know, really, it's not even really about receiving a check with me for this. You know, I just feel like I was led to do this for some reason, and I wanted to get it out, and I'm not, you know, without sin, and, you know, I make mistakes just like the next person, you know, but I try to live accordingly, and I want to give back, and I just feel like kids can really benefit from this kind of book, this kind of read, because even though they may get some of this stuff from their parents, I mean, when you get at that age where you're feeling rebellious, you may not want to hear it from your parent, you know. You might want to hear it from a book or, you know, something like that.
No.
So I'm just thinking that somebody can take away something from this book.
And I think they will. I know I took something away from it. And I'm like, if you can get me to take something away from it, then I know it's a positive message. Now, you know, the title of the book, as we said, it's called Retrospect with Reason. But do you feel that the retrospect to a situation should happen right away? Is there a time limit that one should reflect and find reasoning toward a situation, or should they worry if they never find one?
In most cases, I don't think, but I can't speak for everybody, but I don't think that it happens right away. I think that you have the experience, and you know, initially your reaction may be not the right one. It depends on the situation. And then after you sit there and you think about it, you say to yourself, oh, I could have done it this way, you know, I'll know next time. Or this probably could have worked a little bit better. So, I mean, it's like a process of learning. You experience that thing, and then after you think about it, you think about how you can approach it differently the next time for the better. It's all about growth.
And while writing this book, what was the toughest part of your life that you had to find retrospect on when you were putting this together?
I don't think I experienced like a tough part of my life that, you know, urged me to write this. It's, like I said, it's this everyday reflection type of thing. You know, you go through something or you see someone else go through something, and you think about it, and you try to take a lesson from it. So I don't think there was one, you know, particular incident or circumstance that really caused me to write this. It was just everyday, daily reflection, just to try to learn from things.
So piggybacking off of that one, did you find any new reasonings for certain things in your life that occurred that you didn't think of before, that you felt had already been answered?
New reasonings, like, what do you mean, new reasonings?
Well, I know, you know, sometimes we could, you know, have, and I know you've kind of mentioned it, but, you know, sometimes you have to go back to, I guess in order to move forward, you know, you have to get rid of that past in the back, and you have to, you know, kind of go back through that. But it's, I guess, you know, sometimes we might be writing things, or we might go back and, you know, one thing that we thought we kind of had settled into our soul, or one thing that we thought we had the answer to, we might look at it from a different way. So, you know, for example, if you ate the pizza the day before and you said, well, I ate it because I was hungry. And then you go the following day and you're like, well, actually I ate it because I actually had a taste for pepperoni as well. You know, it's kind of like that brand new, that retrospect to that feeling, kind of like that. Did you have anything that you kind of thought back on in your life like, you know what? You know, even though that had, you know, satisfied you, the answer to whatever situation satisfied you, did you kind of go back and actually think of another reason as well? I mean, that was still satisfying.
Well, I just think it's my constant reasoning is going to always be to give, you know, in some kind of way, to give to others so that they can see. I mean, they can choose to listen to advice and, you know, or they can choose not to. It's up to them, for them to go through their own experiences. But I would just say, you know, negative people, maybe experiences, anything negative, you know, trying to push your way out of that and moving on to something positive. Also, you know, just to give my kids a guideline to live so that they can identify with people, establish relationships, you know, with people in the right way, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned in the foreword, and you mentioned just now and before in the book about your kids. How are you shaping the way that they think or react towards certain experiences? And I'm going to ask you a question out here as a parent. Does it seem to get harder with each generation, especially with overcoming that adversity, negativity? Does it seem that you kind of have to, in a role of a parent, be there even more so now than probably when we were growing up?
Well, I like to say I'm pretty young still, you know, but I'm getting up there. But I have had the chance to see, like, the best of both worlds because I am a parent now. My kids are small, though. I still have toddlers. So, I mean, right now they're having fun, you know. They haven't really got to that stage where they have to make decisions and things like that. But I am a teacher. So, you know, I see kids, oh, my goodness, from all walks of life that have been through things, you know. And they come to me as an outlet on a range of different things, you know. So it's sad to hear a lot of things that these kids go through and to know that they don't have anybody to talk to or they don't have a way to let their feelings out. So they resort to other things. I mean, it gets deep. So, Yeah, I think it's tougher because kids are growing up faster nowadays. They're learning more of the negative more so than the positive. And it just depends on, you know, what their experiences are, what they're exposed to. And, you know, unfortunately, everybody doesn't, you know, have that nice home to come to, you know, food on the table every night. Everybody, you know, experiences something totally different in life. So you got to reach out to those people, too.
Yeah. Now, in the book, there was a section where you talked of finding motivation when things are going wrong. What motivates you when things don't go right? How do you find your motivation?
Positive people. I still struggle with that sometimes, actually. I'm always looking for things to motivate me because, you know, I get in slumps just like everybody else, and I try to pull myself out of it. So, I mean, just people that constantly will encourage me, people that are in my corner, just positivity, going to the gym, working out, you know, cooking. I like to cook. That's a stress reliever. You know, just hanging out with good people, you know. That's my motivation, knowing that I can help somebody, seeing somebody smile or, you know, helping them get past something that they're going through, if I can offer some kind words, you know.
Definitely. And in the book also, you mentioned in a few instances of finding our worth and commending ourselves. I think something that a lot of people sometimes kind of fail to do. But I'm going to play devil's advocate with you for a second.
I failed to do that. I've been told on numerous occasions that, you know, I don't give myself enough credit for the things that I'm doing, you know, and I would have to agree. So that's a part of my life that I'm working on right now, you know, giving myself a pat on the back and things like that.
But I know with that also comes that thing because, and this is where I thought of it, because in this next question I'm going to ask you, sometimes there are people that are already doing it, and sometimes they kind of do a little bit too much of it. Do you think that there's a fine line between that modesty or ego, or is having an ego a good thing?
I think it's a fine line. I mean, having an ego is a good thing, you know, to be confident, to have that ego, but to have that ego that, you know, is real over the top and it tends to, you know, hurt people more than help people, then that'll be a problem. Yeah. But I think you have to have a degree of confidence, you know. My problem is I don't want to become too confident, you know. I want to kind of remain humble in what I'm doing all the time.
Yeah.
So that's my thing. I don't want to come across as, you know, something that's trying to outdo something else and, you know, but I have to learn to look past that and just do what I'm supposed to do and do it to the best of my ability. So that's all about confidence. But I don't ever intend on becoming this overly cocky person, you know.
Well,
I think it's all about humility.
Yeah, and I think that was part of the book that resonated with me because I saw myself in that. Because a lot of times, you know, we are in certain positions, especially in jobs, and people say, well, you should be putting yourself out there some more, and you should make sure that they knew that you did that. But it's like sometimes you're just there to do the job, and, you know, you like that acknowledgement, but at the same time, you're not going to, you know, blow a whistle in the middle of the meeting and say, hey, that was me, so I want you guys to make
exactly.
sure you acknowledge me, you know?
Exactly. I'm kind of like a behind-the-scenes type of person. I don't want to be on the forefront of everything, and, you know, if I can do my job from the back, from backstage, I would do that, and I would do it great, and I'll be just fine with that.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, so that's, I hear you. And you mentioned that you are an educator. Do you feel that it's important that parents are instilling the lessons that's in your book to their kids at an early age? And I guess as a parent yourself, what's the best way for them to do that?
I do think kids should get these lessons a lot sooner, you know, because times have changed. The world is changing. Kids are exposed to all kinds of things that we weren't exposed to at an earlier age, you know, from TV to music to, you know, trying to separate what's fact from fiction. You know, it's heavy. And for a child that doesn't know how to separate fact from fiction, they're going to struggle. They're going to struggle to impress people. They're going to struggle with their own identity. It's just going to be a whole bunch of struggles. So I think that it's very important for a parent to talk to their kids early on to, you know, give them real-life situations. Talk to them about, you know, once they're at that age where they can understand and comprehend what's going on. But they need to hear the truth, you know, before, you know, it's too late. Why would you have somebody experience something that they didn't have to experience if you could have guided them? And, you know, we all have free will, so it's up to them to make that choice, but at least give them some background, you know, on life in general.
Definitely. Now, before we kind of wrap some things up here, I want to play a little word association. And I feel like now I'm a psychologist, but I want you to tell me what you think of when I say the following, because I know some of these terms or some of these things are mentioned kind of throughout the book, but I just want to get your own take on some of these words.
Okay.
First one, knowledge.
Experience.
Yeah.
Should I elaborate?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. No, you know what? Go ahead. Yeah, actually, I want you to. Yeah, I'm going to change the rule. Actually, I want you to. Yeah.
Okay, knowledge is experience because, you know, you experience something and you should learn from it. And that gives you knowledge, you know, the know-how to go about the situation differently next time. That's it.
Next word? Next word, loss.
Hardship. You did say loss, right?
Yep.
Yeah, any loss. I mean, it's a hardship. It's a suffering that people go through, you know, to lose things. But I've been told that for every loss, you're going to gain something, you know, in return. So it's just that process of getting through that period of suffering and opening a brand new door.
Third word, evaluation.
Test. Man, this whole, I think we are going to be constantly tested, you know, tested in faith, tested in spirituality, everything, you know. Life is a test. You're constantly being evaluated by other people, you know, by people, just in general, whether they're, you know, friends, family, co-workers, supervisors, constantly under a microscope. It's a test. I mean, to show who you are as a person, you have to shine through that. You have to let the truth of you shine through that test so that you could persevere.
Okay. Fourth word, faith.
Trust. Faith is something that I think we all kind of struggle with from time to time, especially if we're not where we want to be. We resist change, you know, sometimes initially, and we have to learn to trust the situation in order to get through it. So that's what faith means to me, trust. That's hard. Trust is hard, especially for a person that isn't able to trust, you know, yet. Because of what they've been through or what they're going through, and to have that faith, that's something serious. But I don't know. I guess everybody is different, and hopefully we can all get there one day.
Fifth and final word, God.
Love, unconditionally. You know, I believe in God. I believe that He makes everything happen. He puts people in your life for a reason, you know. Everything is according to Him. So that's love through everything. Through all experiences that you go through, there's a purpose behind it. Some purpose, and sometimes it's not for us to know when we want to know it. You know, we'll figure that out later. Yep.
And with that, that's a perfect way to end that. The book is Retrospective Reason, A Look at Life's Experiences in the Aftermath. The author is Anika Hardy Douglas. And Anika, I can't thank you enough for coming on the program and talking with us this evening. And
Thank you for having me.
And I love the book. And if for those who I know might be looking to buy the book, they can go, I know, to barnesandnoble.com. Is there
Amazon.
Any other thing?
You can go to Amazon.com. You can go to Author House, Barnes & Noble. I think there are like over 2,000 search engines that you can find this book. So please support brand new talent.
Definitely. And like I said, you can look it up at any place where finer books are sold. And like I said, the name of the book, once again, Retrospective Reason, A Look at Life's Experiences in the Aftermath. And Anika, much success on the book. And, you know, it's not always said when there are positive messages that are coming through. There's so many books out there of people who are self-serving or don't have a message to send. But this one definitely does have a message to send, and I would encourage anyone that is looking for that pick-me-up or that motivation to go out and get that book.
Thank you, thank you, thank you very much, LeVar. Thanks for having me. I appreciate your time.
No problem. And that will do it for the 411 Lounge. I'm LeVar Evans. Like I said, once again, special thanks to our guest, Anika Hardy Douglas. And go out and get that book. Find it at Amazon. Find it at Barnes & Noble, wherever finer books are sold. We will have a link on our website to at least a couple of the spots, as well as some more information about the book. And thanks for joining us, everybody. It has been an honor, a pleasure, and we will see you next time. You're on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks, everybody.